Hope you're all doing well. So, as we just mentioned yesterday, we put up the podcast from last week. If you weren't around, it was a bit of a tough subject to talk about last week, but I think it was a really important one to cover. So, we were looking at this whole idea of silence, and we focused on when silence can be harmful. Particularly kind of concentrated on this scenario that's come out around the Soul Survivor event and Soul Survivor Church and Mike Pilavachi and the stuff that's happened there. And actually looking at the silence of lots of people within the Christian world, not really making a comment and standing up against the kind of things that were wrong in that situation. And hopefully the stuff that we talked about, as difficult as it was to discuss, is really important for us to grab hold of as a group of people, to make sure that we're the kind of people who really notice when things are wrong, that we stand up for the victims and we really care for those kind of people. So we talked about the importance of courage and bravery to stand up and challenge things that are wrong, the difference that defying the silence can make to those who are victims, and acknowledging that choosing to be loved sometimes means you have to hold people to account. So it was tough. But I would encourage you to listen to it. I think it's the kind of stuff that shapes us as people, to kind of be the kind of people that I think God has called us to be. So talking about the subject of silence last week, it kind of made me think, actually, we looked at the topic of when silence is harmful. But this week, I wanted to carry on talking about the topic of silence, but in a completely different way. I want to today look at when silence is important. And the reality is the world that we live in at the moment is probably the most active that it has ever been. Like, getting an opportunity for silence, particularly in some of our lives, seems pretty nigh on impossible. That how do you find silence in the middle of the world that we live in at the moment? Everywhere we turn is an opportunity to be stimulated, to be distracted, or to be engaged in or by something. Like, constantly, there is so much on offer. I don't know what people's kind of watch lists are like on things like Netflix, whether you've got loads of things saved, or these are all the series I'm going to move on to next. We have an unending supply. Like, I doubt we'll ever get to the point now where we go, I've watched everything. I've watched everything that could. And what you will find is you get to the point where you start watching things and then it really wasn't worth watching. It was disappointing and all of the really good stuff you've seen. But we are in a position now, we have got a constant supply of stimulation, distraction and engagement for us to be able to enjoy, is the reality. That's what it's there for you to be able to enjoy. But the question I want to ask us is, when was the last time you experienced proper silence? That heat is on, so we can't experience it now. But that is a prime example, isn't it? We look for the silence, and in anywhere we are, it's virtually impossible to find. I heard a really interesting story the other day about a guy called Bernie Krause. Now, Bernie Krause is an American who his job over the years has been to record nature sounds for film and TV. And in the story, they were talking about how in 1968, he would talk about how in order to get 1 hour of undisturbed sound, so no aeroplanes, no cars, no police sirens, no heaters, nothing like that, in order to get 1 hour of undisturbed sound, he'd need to record for 15 hours. That was in 1968, right? 15 hours. In 2005, when he was interviewed again about this, he was interviewed in 2005 and talked about this, he said in 2005, it would now take him to get that same 1 hour of uninterrupted silence. It would take him over 2,000 hours recording for 2,000 hours to find 1 hour of uninterrupted silence. Like silence. That is just a little snapshot. Now that is nearly 20 years ago. Do you think it's better now? No. It's quite possibly worse. But the fact is, our world is not wired for silence. And do you know what? We've got to be honest with it as well. We don't always help ourselves in this quest for silence, or this kind of ability to achieve
a space where we can feel like it's quiet or silent. Silence is vital for our ability to cope with and process the various things that we need to manage in our lives. It's interesting, isn't it? Because the one time you probably think, well, I do get silence when I go to sleep, it's now quite a common trend for people to put on. Lucy's got an air purifier in her room, which is just this constant fan noise. But it settles her, it helps her. But what about white noise? Some people go to sleep and have white noise on for the whole night. Some people's kids are reared on white noise in order to be able to, I don't know, maybe hush some of the kind of activity in your brain. These things are effective and helpful and useful, but we're not getting silence, are we? We're not getting silence. Consistent noise can lead to overstimulation and feeling that sense of overwhelm, which can seriously impact our ability to function. I don't know how you feel, but I feel like as I get older, I'm more and more sensitive and aware of noise and distraction that almost means I struggle to function and process at my best. In certain scenarios, in certain times, it just feels like if that could just stop, then maybe I could think a little bit clearer, I could think a bit easier. And we need that sense of calm and rest that we get from silence. And so often, that silence is broken for us. It's not necessarily, even if you choose to kind of pursue silence, other things will happen that kind of step in and do that. I've got some of those earphones that have got noise cancellation built in. And if I go and read in a coffee shop or something like that, I just put them in, turn the noise cancellation off. They are so clever. They've got microphones built in and they basically listen to all the noise in the room and cut it all out. So I can sit in a coffee shop with the music on, the hustle and bustle of people chatting, and just sit in it's not silence because you can still hear murmurings in the background, but it reduces the noise. I can concentrate so much easier. If I wear them at home, which is a real gift at times, living with four wonderful, wonderful ladies, sometimes I just see Han there gestating really angrily at me because she's been talking to me from the other room for about 10 minutes and I've just been blissfully just listening to something or watching something on my iPad with all of the room noise cancelled out, and she absolutely hates it in that moment.
Loop earplugs.
Oh, good.
If you don't actually want to be listening to...
There you go. Cool. I think I've seen those. Yeah, that's cool. But isn't it interesting now? We can try and create our moments of silence and we can try and pursue those kind of things. But sometimes it's really difficult to actually get what we would describe as pure silence for us to experience. And the interesting thing is, when we think about this term silence, we talk about noise, don't we? When we think about audible noise, that sounds that will impact our silence. But actually, I'm not just talking about noise that we're surrounded by in those kind of moments where we're interrupted by stuff. Sometimes we choose by default to bring the noise into our world. How many times do you get into the car and automatically the radio is on? Have you ever gone, I'm just going to stop the radio and drive in silence? It's actually quite nice, you know, if you do that. Sometimes if you're feeling overwhelmed, you've got a million things running through your brain, turn the radio off or the music off, and you might find that actually your ability to process and think is a tiny bit better. How many times do we automatically just pop headphones on and just choose what noise we're going to have, which could be positive for us? Don't get me wrong, it could be really positive for us, but we choose to put that noise into our ears. How many times have we said, I'm not going to put headphones in today, I'm just going to walk and listen to the sounds of nature and breathe in fresh air and not have anything to kind of like actually engage with or concentrate on or listen to? What about always having the TV on in the background? I sometimes default to putting the telly on so there's something there for me to engage with or listen to or watch. But sometimes we don't need that. But how many times do we do that? And none of these things are bad things. And they can actually be quite comforting, you know. Sometimes that's what we need in those times. But if you ever feel like you're overwhelmed and you've got too much going through your brain, then choosing to create some silence in those ways may be really beneficial, might be really helpful. And the struggle for silence isn't just about sound. It isn't just about audible noise. We're more affected now than ever by visual noise. And the problem is, when asked that question, when was the last time you experienced silence? You may well be able to tell me, but my question to you is, when you experienced that silence, did you have your phone in your hand and were you scrolling? Because that is sometimes when we get silent. Oh, it's great now because everything's subtitled. Everything's subtitled, so I don't need to listen to it, so I can scroll in silence. But you are not experiencing silence because visually you're constantly being stimulated. And our phones are the biggest culprit in this. We have them on our person all the time. We have them always at hand. And I don't know about you, but sometimes we feel a little bit lost if we haven't got our phones on us. And I don't know about you whether you think that I'm not going to be able to cope, not going to be able to manage if I haven't got my phone near me. So is it always to hand? Do you default to picking up your phone whenever there is a lull? Like, have you noticed that if you walk around the world now, most people are like this. Like, how often do you catch someone's gaze? Because more often than not, they're looking now. Especially if anyone's static in public, they're never looking up. I made a promise to myself years ago that whenever I stood in line waiting for my coffee, I would never look at my phone. And it's the most fascinating thing because it's brilliant. You're the only person not looking down. So you're not going to have any awkward conversations because no one's looking at you. But you can watch the world go by and just notice what's going on. And you know what? When we've got that phone, I've always to hand, or we default to picking it up when there is a lull. The question is sometimes, what are we looking at? Is it something really essential that you really need to do? Sometimes it is. Maybe you're checking train times, or you're trying to book something that you desperately need to book in order to make sure you can sort out a bit of life admin that needs to be done. Maybe there is essential things that you're doing. How amazing it's in the palm of your hand. But how often is it actually that you don't really know what you're looking at? You just go into the default things of, oh, I'll just open that app, or I'll do this, or I'll just play that bit of that game, or I'll do this, or do that. Because that's the default that you get caught into. Is it anything important that you're doing? And the fact is, we can easily get addicted to instantly trying to seek stimulation. What we're looking for every time we pick up our phone is something that will stimulate us, something that will engage us in either a conversation, or will spark a thought, or our imagination, or our interest in something. And this becomes the vehicle to be able to achieve that. And it's in the palm of our hands all the time. Since Christmas, I've become so aware, I don't know why since then, but I've just become so aware that if I need to do a good job of something, if I need to be efficient, if I need to be quick, if I need to be able to listen effectively, then I need to leave my phone away from me. Like, if you want to be, and this is a graphic one, but if you want to be quick in the bathroom, don't take your phone. Because it's going to take at least twice as long, because you're going to end up going, oh, I was just playing this game. It's playing Candy Crush. Do you know what I mean? If you want to do anything quickly or effectively, honestly, I've tried it since Christmas, and I've tried both things, and I am pretty useless at achieving things and concentrating on work or anything like that if my phone is in touching distance of me. Now, the thing is, we can all come up with the excuses, oh, but I need my phone there in case someone texts me or rings me. Do you remember the times when you didn't need to respond instantly? Nice. Where being aired wasn't seen as an offensive thing? It was just normal life. Maybe you're at work and you're not allowed to use your phone. Do you know what I mean? These are normal things that actually we kind of almost need to reclaim the right and the opportunity to be able to sit there and go, I will respond to that. And you know what? Apple Watches or whatever make it worse, because you then know the message is there. You've read it on your watch. It doesn't show as read on your messages, but you know it's in your head now, so you need to do it. And you know, relationships and conversations are, I think, are massively impacted by our addiction and our engagement with phones. Simon Sinek is an amazing commentator on this stuff. If you ever come across him, listen to what he's got to say about phones. He talks about if you go to a restaurant and someone says, we don't want to be on our phones today, so we'll put them in the middle of the table. Or someone sits down at a conversation and puts their phone down on the middle of the table. He says the problem is that might seem like I'm not going to engage with my phone, but the fact that they're putting it face up on the table next to you is a sign of them saying, I'm here for this conversation, but if something happens on there, then I will be engaged with that. I will be drawn to that. And it's funny, isn't it? When was the last time you left your phone at home? When was the last time you decided not to take it with you? I know there's always, but what if there was an emergency? All this kind of stuff. I get all of that. I understand all of that. But have you ever been in a conversation where someone has been constantly looking at their phone and or doing something on their phone whilst you're trying to talk to them? I'll be honest with you, I've never felt worth less in that moment. Because basically what they do is something going, yeah. Just like, what does listening look like in those kind of times? What about your kids? Do they get your full attention or do they get you busy with this stuff that some of it might be really important, some of it might be good, some of it might be essential to do, but some of it might just be noise into an already noisy environment? And I tell you what, you feel better when you put it down and just stop and listen. Me and Adam go out for drinks every now and then. I don't think we've ever touched our phones during those because we're so engaged in a conversation. And that's what we need. That's what we need. If I was sat there talking to Adam on my phone, it wouldn't work. But our conversations go way deeper, don't they, and way further because we're fully invested and fully engaged in that moment of connection. And I think sometimes we have to fight what has become the norm in our society to be able to create that. Sorry, I've gone on a bit of a tangent. I didn't mean to go on such a rant about that. It's not really... that's where I didn't write any notes, so apologies. But this is the society we live in. And when we're talking about silence, not just being audible, it's visual as well. These are the kind of things that add to the noise in our lives. So in order to not be overwhelmed and overstimulated, and even to not become addicted to that constant need for stimulation, we need to choose to pursue some silence in our lives, in our days. And you might sit there and go, that's really easy for you to say. It's really hard to actually make happen. But you know what? If we can do it, it makes a difference. There's a couple of verses in the book of Isaiah that I was reading this week. One of them is chapter 30, verse 15. In the NIV, it says this, in quietness and rest is your strength. In quietness and rest is your strength. When I think about the person of Jesus, Jesus would consistently withdraw from the crowds, especially if he'd done something, whether it was a miracle or a talk or whatever that meant he gave something of himself to a group of people. His default response, as you read about it in the Bible, is he would withdraw on his own to escape the noise of the crowd, escape the noise, escape the applause, escape the attention, the adulation, in order for him to regulate himself and rebuild himself. Remind himself of who he actually was, not who he is in that moment in front of all of those people. And sometimes we can find that our lives are so busy and chaotic that we struggle to hear that voice of God. Like if we're really honest, I'm not going to go around the room and say, when was the last time you heard the voice of God? Like, it's hard, isn't it? This stuff, and I'm not talking about a loud booming voice from above. But sometimes we can sit there and go, it feels like it's hard to hear what God might want to say to me. But then I look at that and go, but look at the world we live in. There is a complete kind of void of silence. We can't, it's so hard to find silence. And, you know, if we're expecting that loud booming voice, I don't know whether that's particularly God's style. I love it when people talk about a still small voice. The still small voice of God.
I think that's often how he talks to us, or how he will guide us, or speak to us, or support us. But the problem is when we are surrounded by constant noise, be it audible or visual, how can we expect to hear a still, small voice? How do you find that? How do you notice that he might be saying something when we're constantly being bombarded with all of this other stuff? Isaiah chapter 40, verses 28 to 31 says this: "The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." So do you know that? That decision to pursue some silence and some space and some rest, that quietness, and to have an opportunity just to even just sit with God. It doesn't even need to be a dialogue. Just to sit with God. I believe that's the kind of stuff that renews our strength, that builds our strength, that helps us to be able to cope better with whatever life is throwing at us at that time. So pursuing silence and calm and rest has got to be good for us. Silence is also really helpful in the way that we relate to people. I kind of touched on this a few moments ago. How good are you at listening? Because, you know, listening is being silent. You choosing to be silent. How good are you at listening? And here's a good question. Do you listen in order to speak, or are you listening to understand? Because there's a real difference, isn't there? Have you ever been in a conversation where you or someone else is constantly is listening, but in order to find the break where they can share their opinion? They can bring their noise into the situation. That's very different from listening to understand. Because when you listen to understand, your approach and your kind of, way of operating in that situation is not trying to think of what can I share? What's my experience? What can I add to this? It's just saying, this person is talking. I want to hear what they've got to say. And you know, sometimes someone shares something and you both just sit there in silence for a bit, thinking about it. That's all healthy. That's all good. That's all positive. So it's not just about pursuing the silence for your own benefit. Maybe we can bring silence into situations where other people will benefit from that. And the other beautiful thing about silence is that it opens the door to wonder. And I think the problem with the noise that we experience in our life at the minute is we've often lost the art and the ability to wonder. So that's what I find when I stand in line waiting for a coffee to arrive. I take that opportunity to wonder. I wonder about, I wonder what's going on in that person's life, or I wonder what they're talking about, or what they're thinking about. I wonder about things to do with my life. If we never get a chance to wonder, sometimes we don't get a chance to come up with strategies or solutions or thoughts on how we might process this, how we might manage this. That's why sometimes, if you want to go for a walk and pop a podcast on, that could be amazingly helpful and beneficial to you. I love doing that kind of thing. But you know what? Sometimes, if you choose not to put your headphones on, and wonder instead, you might find that as you're wandering around and wondering, you might find that in that space you can process stuff better than you can in the middle of the noise. And sometimes we're so desperate to find the solutions and get the answer to the problem that we kind of seek it out in noise all the time. And actually sometimes maybe quietness and rest and silence could be one of the most important factors to help you be able to come up with the kind of stuff that might make a difference. So here's a bit of a challenge for us for this week. And it will be easier for some rather than others. I'm looking at Jeff and Sandra over there living in the woods. and some of you might be going, man, I just don't know when I'm going to find that. But my challenge to us this week is try and find some moments to enjoy the silence. to enjoy some silence. I'm not going to give you a big spiritual kind of challenge that you need to talk to God about X, Y, and Z. You might just need to sit in the silence and enjoy that. Because you know what? Sometimes silence is one of the most important things for us to experience. So if you are finding things challenging, things difficult, look at that as an option. Do the other things that give you life, that help you, that inspire you, that encourage you, that support you. But also don't neglect those moments where actually you can just have some quietness and rest. Because I really do believe that that is where we can really find strength. So let's just pray. Father God, thank you for this time together. I pray as we ponder these words and we try and look at how relevant these things are to our lives. And it'll be different for every single person, God. I pray that you'd help us to work out some ways where we can find a bit of quietness, a bit of silence, a bit of rest. And I pray that in that moment we would find you, we would meet with you. And whether we kind of need to hear it or not, I pray that we would experience that still small voice into our lives, even if it is just you telling us that we're doing all right. God, I pray that we would find some silence and some space, and that it would really be energizing and positive for us this week. So help us to do that in the middle of the noise, to try and do something positive with that this week. Amen.